And we thank you for this, Jesus. Lord, as we come to your word now, may indeed it speak into the heart of each person here this morning. Lord, may we not resist what you want to say to us this morning. Lord, I pray your protection on the heart and the mind and the soul of each person here this morning. Let nothing get in the way, Lord, of them hearing what you want to say to them this morning through your eternal word. Lord, we live to bring you glory. Holy Spirit, we welcome you here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, God willing, tonight at 9:30, courtesy of Mourner's mum and dad, we are on a plane back to the other side of the world, back to Sydney. And a bit different than when we were there last time, in that we're actually going about, I don't know, maybe 3 hours out of Sydney to this place called Port Stephen, where we're going to be there for kind of a couple of weeks. And I was looking at the churches in the area, because it's great if you're going on holiday, it's great to, you know, summer isn't a break from church, so if you're going on holiday, it's great to maybe go to another church. I know sometimes there can be language barriers depending on where you're going, but I was looking at some of the churches in this area, and they've got fantastic names. I mean, listen to this, Bay Life Church. I mean, how nice does that sound? I just want to go there because of the name Bay Life Church. Sounds amazing, and it sits in this beautiful bay, you know, with golden sand and blue waters. There's a Baptist church. It's called Nelson Bay Baptist Church. Again, it sits in this lovely setting. And I was on their website, and their pastor just likes to go surfing in his spare time. Well, that sounds great, you know. What's not so nice is they all seem to start at 9 o'clock in the morning. But that's maybe so they can go out and enjoy the bay life around them. This morning we're back in the Sermon on the Mount, and it deals this morning with an issue that touches all of our lives. Jesus is speaking into the issue of worry. Worry and anxiety are phrases that we use quite often today. It refers to maybe things that consume our minds that we're concerned about, maybe certain situations, maybe certain difficulties, maybe certain relationships that produce worry and anxiety, or tasks that we're asked to do. And Jesus, remember in the Sermon on the Mount, he's speaking into this group of people that are around him, and he says quite directly to them, do not worry. And when I read the words again this week, I was really struck by how direct Jesus is. In the New Living Translation, he says, I tell you not to worry about everyday life. And I kind of read that and I think, is this possible? You know, I'm worried about how I'm going to cope on a flight for 21 hours. I'm worried about the person next to me, how they're going to cope sitting next to me. But anyway, but there's probably not one of us, maybe this week at one point, that's not had some sort of a worrying kind of thought that's come into your mind. And so today, as we look at Jesus' teaching, there's actually a real encouragement for all of us, because there is a pathway through some of these feelings, some of these experiences. There is hope. And the great thing we're going to see today is that it's not complex. A lot of the time it comes down to how we are thinking about God, down to where our thoughts are, down to where our trust is placed. So this morning I'm going to give you 3 action points to help us deal with some of the worries that come into our minds. These are 3 action points that I have picked up along the way through life. They are 3 action points that I seek to apply to my life regularly. And so I'm just going to share them with you this morning. And I believe they will make a difference in your own life. So I'm going to go now to Matthew chapter 6. We're going to be reading from verses 25 down to verse 34 in the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus is talking about a different life. That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing. Yet Solomon, in all his glory, was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for wild flowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? So don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. It's an interesting little phrase that Jesus finishes with there. Nowhere does he deny that there won't be trouble. Nobody does he say, don't worry about tomorrow because it will be free of trouble. No, Jesus says, in this world you will have troubles. But how do we walk through some of these troubles, particularly some of the worries and concerns that come into our minds? Jesus, at the start of this teaching, though, he is referring back to what he's just said. He said that little phrase, that is why I tell you. Other translations would use the phrase therefore, which builds a much more stronger connecting link. And he mentions three things that can cause worry to people in their lives. And he says back in verse 19, he says, don't store up treasures here on earth where moths can eat them and rust destroys them, where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven, where moths and rust cannot destroy, and thieves do not break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, there the desire of your heart will also be. And Jesus is saying here, some of the things that you count as important can actually cause you worry in your life. I was at a party recently, and I was speaking to someone in their early 40s who was telling me about their pension fund that's already got £1 million in it. But they were really worried about money and where more money was coming from. And I thought, really? You got £1 million in your pension fund? You know, some of the things that occupy our minds, though, can breed anxious thoughts. And it's not that all these things are wrong. We need important that we stress that. But we can become very uptight about things that won't last. And Jesus is saying here, you know, the things that you need to focus on, the more important things are the things that will have an eternal impact. Then he goes on and says, your eye is like a lamp that provides light for your body. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is filled with light. When your eye is unhealthy, your whole body is filled with darkness. And if the light you think you have is actually darkness, how deep that darkness is. When we see in the Bible, there is this notion that fixing our eye is in many ways the same expression as what we fix our hearts on. And so this is really dealing with the focus of our lives. And Jesus is talking about, what are your energies going into? And again, it's not so much maybe about right and wrong, but where your attention is. Are you worried about things? Are you putting too much attention onto different things that it's actually bringing a darkness into your soul? And then he says in verse 24, no one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other. You'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and be enslaved to money. Staggering words here by Jesus. Money has such a power that it can grip our lives and actually enslave us to it. And Jesus is saying here, don't become bound to things that create worry and anxiety in your life. Don't become mastered by things that are not the best choice for you. So Jesus is saying here, where your treasure is, where your focus is, where who you serve and what you serve can, if not centered on God, create a lot of worry in your life. And he says, that is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life. Remember, all through the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus has been revealing to us a new way of living, a way that is different, a way that invites us into a new way of doing life. And here he's talking about this way of doing life that does not involve worry. Verse 27, can all of your worries add a single moment to your life? Verse 28, why worry about your clothing? Verse 31, so don't worry about all these things. So let's look at three action points that help us deal with the worries of our life. In many ways, this morning, as we think about a new way of living, we're actually thinking this morning about how can we have a new way of thinking in our lives? Because a lot of our worries come from our minds. So the first thing we see in this text is the importance of feeding your mind. Jesus talks about the birds and how they don't plant and harvest, and yet they have this amazing ability to just pick up seeds and pick up food that's in the ground. You know, we've got some magpies that nest in the trees near us, and they're the most annoying birds because they're always scavenging, and they go into the gutters, and they go into the gutters, and they try and kind of find food in warm weather like this when you've got your windows open. They wake you up as they're in the gutters early in the morning, scavenging about, trying to find some food. You know, but Jesus is saying here, your heavenly Father takes care of them. Aren't you much more valuable to him than they are? What beautiful words they are that Jesus speaks over our lives this morning. We are valuable to our Father God. You know, a lot of our worries come from feelings of low self-worth and low self-esteem. And Jesus is like, wait a minute. You are precious. You are valuable to your Father God. But we need to build ourselves up in how God sees us. And the best way for us to do this is to be looking to God and have a better understanding of him. And how we do this is by opening our Bibles. You know, you're going to get tired of me saying this, but I'm never going to stop saying it. You need to be opening your Bible and you need to be reading it because you need to be feeding your mind from what the Bible actually says. The Bible wants to feed your mind from God's word. Jesus says the truth will set you free. And some of that truth is an understanding of how God sees us. We are valuable to him. We are precious to him. So precious indeed that he sent his one and only son to die for us. That's what we're thinking about at communion this morning. And for our thinking, though, to be transformed, we need to be taking in God's word. You know, I'm slightly concerned as to how excited I'm getting about the new Lidl's that is just getting built along the road. And I know I'm getting concerned because it's got a bakery in it. And I know I walk past it just about every day in life. And I'm thinking, when I'm back from Australia, will that be open? Will I be able to go in there in the morning and get a wee croissant to have with a coffee? I'm getting too excited. But we take in food, don't we? We take in food to strengthen our bodies. And when we think about our minds, we need to be taking in the food of God's word to strengthen our minds. Jesus said, people do not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. We need to be building up healthy minds that can cope with the stresses and the worries of life by taking in God's word. Psalm 119, you know, it's one of my favorite psalms. Verse 147, I rise early before the sun is up. I cry out for help and put my hope in your words. I stay awake through the night thinking about your promises. Rising early or through the night, feeding on God's word. 95 of Psalm 119, I will quietly keep my mind on your laws. You know, you and I need to think about what we are thinking about. Are we thinking about more about what someone we think, maybe someone's called us? Are we thinking about how we feel that other people think about us? Are we thinking more about how we feel about ourselves? Or are we thinking about God and what he thinks about us? Are we feeding our minds with worries and concerns about the things of today? Or are we feeding our minds with who God is and how he sees us and how he reveals himself to us in his word? So stay in the word. Feed your mind on the word of God. Have an understanding of how God looks at you. Valuable. Precious. He cares for you. The next thing, the second thing, is to free your mind. This might sound a bit postmodern. Does that mean I'm just to do what I'm allowed to do? That's not what I'm talking about here. Let me read on again in verse 28. And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing. Yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for wild flowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? Jesus is saying here, live free from the worries of this world. He takes something from nature. He takes a simple wild flower and says, look how beautiful that is. Look how beautiful. Look how it's cared for. And yet, you know, think about how much more wonderfully you are cared for by your Father God. Why do you have so little faith? He says, he's saying, believe me when I say this. God will provide and care for your needs. You know, to live in the freedom of his caring arms around us is so important. And to let our minds to be free from worry involves us an understanding that God cares for us. But we have to sometimes choose that attitude of thinking, you know, about how, you know, how thinking not to think negative thoughts, but to think more positive thoughts. You know, Paul talks about being transformed by the renewing of our minds. We've got an active role to play in what we think about. That's that phrase, you know, free your mind involves us in thinking more positively about different things. And we need to always be mindful that there is an incredible attack on our minds. And it comes in three fronts. The first front is ourselves. You know, we are very good at getting ourselves into a state. You know, I will experience this as I am traveling in the next wee while. I can get a bit worked up traveling. And you can see other folk getting worked up. And we do this to ourselves. You know, you're 15 minutes away from the house and maybe Mona turns to me and says, did you lock the front door? And immediately I'm worrying, did I lock that front door? Or I'll say to Mona, did you unplug your hair straighteners? And Mona's name worrying, is the house going to burn down? You know, and that's before we even get to the question of where the passports is, you know. We can into ourselves, into our own lives, we can get worked up. And Paul talks in Romans 7, he says in Romans 7:25, but there's another power within me that is at war with my mind. This power makes me a slave to the sin that is still within me. And we are sinners saved by the grace of God, and we are in Christ Jesus, but that new nature wrestles with the old habits. And Paul talks about, you know, I do things, I think things that I don't want to do and don't want to think. But that's that wrestle within us, our old sin nature wrestling with the new nature that we have in Christ Jesus. And so some of the anxiety and worries that come into our lives, we bring them on ourselves. But the second attack front is the world that we live in. You know, we live in a world that does not promote a life that is honoring to God. And in 1 John 2:16, we read this, for the world offers only a craving for physical pleasure, a craving for everything we see, and pride in our achievements and possessions. These are not from the Father, but are from this world. And so into our minds can come these attacks for all these cravings of the world, all these thoughts that come into our life. Oh, to have more, I'll be happier, like that person I met at that party. I'd love £1 million pension, thought Paul. Probably most of you would too, but he's thinking, how can I get more? How can I get more? And he's unhappy. And we worry about things that we don't have. And that comes to us from the world that we live in. But the third attack front is the enemy, the devil. And this is a force of attack that we see right at the beginning of the Bible. There's Adam and Eve, and he deceives them, doesn't he? He puts into their minds thoughts about God that are not true, ideas that are not wrong, desires that are wrong, that they then act on, and he's still doing it today. Negative thoughts come into our mind. He'll drop negative things into our mind. 2 Corinthians 2:11, Paul talks about Satan, who will not outsmart us, for we are familiar with his evil schemes, and we know his schemes, but often we can become casual. We don't take seriously enough the spiritual warfare that we are engaged in and how that affects our minds. You know, I've got, some of you might have noticed, I've got this helmet here. It's a Greek helmet. I bought it about 20 years ago when we were on holiday in Rhodes. It's quite heavy, actually. And I keep it by the side of my bed because there have been seasons in my life where the devil has unleashed everything that he can against my mind to break me. Incredible spiritual warfare, incredible attack on my mind. And I keep this helmet because it reminds me when I'm going to bed at night, and it reminds me when I wake up in the morning. It reminds me about the armor of God and putting on the helmet of salvation. Paul talks in 2 Corinthians 10 about taking captive every thought. There can be strongholds, there can be attitudes in our lives, there can be ways that the devil tries to get in, and we cannot be casual about his schemes that he takes to try and drop into our minds to destroy us. You know, I was listening to a story the other day that caused me great distress, because you know I don't like snakes. And this was apparently a true story of this lady. She had a pet snake, called it Bob, strange name to call a snake. And I think it was a python or a boa constrictor, and she had this snake, and it started it stopped eating, and it started to get smaller, and she was really concerned about this. So she took it to her vet, and she says, you know, how long has this been going on for? Oh, a couple of weeks, he won't eat anything, and he's getting smaller. And the vet started to ask her a few questions about it, and the vet said to her, "No, where does the snake sleep at night?" And she says, "Well, I take the snake out of its tank at night, and it sleeps in my bed with me." I thought about turning the program off at that point. And the vet was like, "Oh, okay. And he said to her, "Have you noticed anything strange about the position of the snake when you wake up in the morning?" She said, "Well, it's strange that you say that. When I wake up in the morning, the snake is lying straight right beside me." And he said to her, "How much do you know about snakes?" She says, "Well, I think I know quite a lot." And he said, "Do you know that a snake will starve itself so that it's able to swallow its prey?" She's like, "No." "And do you know that a snake will shrink itself to the size of the prey that it's looking to swallow, and it will size itself up against it?" And she said, "No." And the vet said to her, "Maybe Bob shouldn't come into your bed at night." But she was the thing. She was casually sleeping with something that was looking to kill her. And we can be very casual about our enemy who is out to destroy us. The devil is out to destroy your relationships, your marriage, your friendships, your family. He's out to negatively influence your future. He wants to fire little grenades of worry and fear into your lives. I don't know if that's me that's crackling. Is that me that's crackling, Andy? Do you want me to go handheld? Because it leads to life and peace. Isaiah 26 verse 3, "You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you." So you have the freedom to make that choice. So let's not be passive thinkers. Let's not be thinkers that are held in bondage. Let's be actively taking captive thoughts that come into our minds. You know, asking ourselves, "Do I really want to be thinking about that? Is that really going to build me up in my life? Is that what God wants me pondering about?" If you're stuck maybe this morning in some sort of patterns of obsessive thoughts and thinking about that, about things, then recognize that and get some help. You know, Steps to Freedom is a great course with dealing with that. But maybe just saying to someone and getting some prayer is a great way. But free your mind. We've got the freedom to actually, about the choices that we make in our life. And the final point is this: focus your mind. So don't worry about these things, saying, "What will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear?" These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your Heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. These are strong words by Jesus. He's saying there's things that dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but Jesus calls us to focus our mind on something better, to focus our minds on him, to focus our minds on eternity, to seek the kingdom of God above all else. You know, when Jesus was writing to young Timothy, that young leader, he wrote to him in 2 Timothy 2, verse 8, and he said to him, "Always remember that Christ, that Jesus Christ, a descendant of King David, was raised from the dead. This is the good news I preach. And so we, in our lives, we have to focus our minds on Jesus. Don't forget the good news, Paul's saying to young Timothy. And it's the same for us today. Don't forget the good news that Jesus died for the sins of the world. He was raised to life again, and through him, we have new life. That's good news. And we live in a world of bad news that affects our thinking when we hear rubbish after rubbish after rubbish. But we've got good news to fill our minds as well, that Jesus is our Saviour and Lord. We're told in Hebrews that we're to run this race with endurance, and we're to do it by keeping our eyes on Jesus, our champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Again, writing to Timothy, Paul says, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. In other words, he's saying to him, look to the cross. When you're consumed with worry, when you're consumed with concerns, remember Jesus. Remember God's grace. Remember what he's done for you. Focus your mind, focus your thoughts on Jesus. Scripture calls us to have that focus as well on eternity. The Bible opens with that description of that perfect place, the Garden of Eden. And the Bible closes with that picture of the heavens that are to come, the new earth and the new heavens. And we live in between these times, but we're heading for the city of God. And in this world and all its concerns, we must remember that there's a better place and a better time that is coming. We get to focus our minds on that which is perfect, Jesus, and our perfect home that is to come. So Jesus says, do not worry. And in reply, most of us would probably think, really? Is that really possible? But he tells us to keep looking to our Father because we're valuable to him and he takes care of our needs. And to do that, we need to keep feeding our minds from God's word. We need to read about all that he has done and is doing for us. You need to free your mind. We need to live free. We need to free our minds and make the choices. I don't need to be bound to these thoughts anymore. I've got the freedom to take time and actually battle this. And sometimes it takes time. If you're here this morning and there's been consistent patterns of negative thoughts in your life, that can sometimes take a time and a process to break that in your life. But you know, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And allow God and the Holy Spirit to be working in your mind. We sing that song, freedom reigns in this place, but God wants that in your mind as well, to know that sort of freedom. So stay focused as well on Jesus and on eternity. Free your mind, and focus your mind. You know, I have been doing this for some time, and I will be applying this to my life for the rest of my life. I will be looking to feed my mind and free my mind and focus my mind. And as you do this, God will bring a peace into your mind. God will breathe his hope into your life. God will speak words of encouragement. God will reveal more to you how valuable you are to him. And God will show you how much he cares for you. A new way of living is in part about a new way of thinking. So be encouraged this morning. Keep reading your Bible. Keep making that choices that you need to make. I'm right now making that choice. I will enjoy 21 hours in a plane. I will enjoy that. And you've got a perfect focus in your life. You get to focus on Jesus who's perfect. And you get to keep that eternal focus on our home ahead that is perfect. Let's pray together as the band are going to come up. Lord Jesus, you said to those crowds on that hill all those years ago, do not worry. Do not be worried about the cares of today, what you wear, what you eat, things like that. Because we are valuable to you, because you care for us. But Lord, we recognize that into our minds particularly, a lot of worries come. We don't know at times why it happens, but it comes in at times. Sometimes it's just ourselves that are bringing these worries, and sometimes it's because we're so focused on this world around us, and we think, look what they've got, and I've not got that, and things like that. And sometimes we recognize, Lord, that it is one of the schemes of the evil one to derail us, to destroy us, to break us by the attacks that he brings into our minds. But Lord, we thank you that you have not left us defenseless. We thank you that we've got your word that we can feed our lives on, and your word strengthens us, and your word encourages us, and your word shows us ways that we can stand against the schemes of the evil one. Lord, we thank you that we can free our minds, Lord, that we can make active choices in our lives, and we thank you that we're not alone in trying to do that, that you've got your spirit is within us, Lord, and to enable us, to give us the strength to make some of the choices that we need to make. And Lord, we thank you that we've got a focus, that our minds can think about you, Jesus. You and all your beauty. You and all your perfection. You and all the wonder and the depths of your love for us. We can focus on you, Jesus. And in that place, our minds can find rest and peace and renewal. So as we come to worship now, Holy Spirit, we ask that you just minister into each of our lives. There'll be few of us here this morning who have not maybe got something in our minds that is troubling us. And Lord, we bring it before you this morning. And we ask that your perfect peace would just replace that worry that's in our minds today. But Lord, I pray for each of us that we, well, however, it doesn't need to be a wee phrase like feed your mind and free your mind and focus your mind. Whatever it is, that we would be aware of the importance of what happens in our thoughts and how that can positively and negatively impact our walk for you. Jesus, it's a new way of living you've called us to. And we know that that involves a new way of thinking. And we know that there is hope for our lives in and through you. And we just worship you now for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to stand. We're going to sing.